The fellowship has been good. I appreciate the fellowship. Even this bunch down here in the front, it's not been bad. Amen. I was teasing with them before the service, and I said it looked like there was trouble down here, and one of them made a comment. They was trying to be funny. Amen. So I told them I changed my text, and I'm going to be out of Psalm tonight. Why do the heathen rage? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just having fun. It's good to have fun with one another in the Lord. Amen. And we need to be able to do that. The world's not interested in getting you laughing. The world's interested in grabbing everything that you have for their own consumption. What's going on here in Missions Conference is asking you to give of what you can so that others can go and the return on your investment will be eternal.
That's right,
amen. You talk about interest-bearing account. You can't calculate the interest of souls that are saved when these men and these families go out to their respective fields and bring back souls that are saved. And that's fruit that abounds to your account, church. I'm excited about Missions Conference. I really am. Not just because I'm a missionary, but because it's an opportunity that we have. And I believe you can say what you want, and I know I'm not the only preacher that says this. I know and believe this with all my heart that we're in the very last hours before Jesus Christ comes back again to the clouds and calls us into the air to be with Him. And I know some Christians say, and bear with me because the Lord's dealing with my heart. I know some Christians say, well, how much worse can it get, Brother Ferris? I mean, why did the Lord just come back right now? Can I say to you in the 1970s and 80s, I remember adults saying that then. And I am so glad, selfishly so glad, that God waited until February the 12th, 1984. Because if He'd have come back on February the 11th, I'd be in hell today. Amen. Jesus Himself said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world, and then the end shall come. Could be we're just holding up His coming back because we're not getting the job done yet. Amen? And we need to get excited, church, about seeing the lost saved, getting the gospel out here in our Jerusalem, in Bridgeport, West Virginia, as well as around the world. What an opportunity. And I want to preach about that for a minute tonight. I told you I would give you dribs and drabs about our own ministry, and I don't want to be long on that because we need to get into the message. But I wanted to share with you something that took place because only God can do this. This is just one of those things where you realize only the hand of God is in this in our own ministry. There was a young man named Daniel that grew up in Liberia, Africa. You were talking about an area not too far from there. Brother, you'll be in Africa. And he grew up in Liberia back in the early 2000s when the Civil War was going on there. Terrible Civil War. I mean, folks were being killed all over the place. Stories of missionaries even getting out of Liberia at the time and going to Togo and Ivory Coast and other places. And this particular young man's father was Muslim, and he was involved in the war, and as far as he knows, maybe his dad got killed. He doesn't know. His mom was not Muslim, but obviously had to go along with what her dad, what her husband said. That's Sharia law, amen. But they were able to escape when their father was out fighting, and they made it to Ivory Coast. And from there, they were able to, through a friend and some contact, make it over to New Jersey, to America's shores for the first time. He was now a teenager, young teenager, 13, 14 years old. They're here for a couple of years, and Daniel's in a place one day, and he happens to look down at a table, and he sees a piece of paper there, and for whatever reason, just decides to pick it up, and it was a gospel tract. He'd never heard of a gospel tract, didn't know what it was. But he picked it up and read it. And somehow, and this is the power of the Word of God, amen, somehow the power of the Word of God got a hold of his heart. He and his mom started attending, of all things, an independent Bible-believing Baptist preaching church in New Jersey. And Daniel and his mama got saved by God's grace. Started with a gospel tract, amen. That young man that got busy serving in his church was faithful. And a couple of years later, God called him to be a U.S. military chaplain. Daniel is now finishing his master's degree in Pensacola. He'll graduate in May. And this time next year, he'll be my next active duty Air Force chaplain. Only God can do that. Amen? Only that's why ministry is so important. I think Pastor and I were talking about this today, being at a funeral and seeing the impact Brother Gregory had. I knew it was massive, but being at the funeral, you even learn more. I don't think you realize, church, that all that you touch is not all that God reaches. The power of the gospel, if you'll just be faithful. Are you listening to me, church? The power of the gospel, if you'll just be faithful, will reach far beyond people that you ever met on this earth. Think about it. You take on this family going to China. Or Japan, I'm sorry. That is the rising sun. Going to Japan. And they go over there and folks get saved. I don't care how many it is. If it's three, that's three that more that weren't going to hell. Amen? Or 300 or 3,000 or whatever the number is. And you're going to meet those people in heaven and they're going to tap you on the shoulder and say, you didn't know me on earth, but because you gave, a missionary showed up and gave me the gospel and I'm here. Now, I want you to think for a minute about the impact of that. They're there instead of an eternity in hell. Not because of you, not because of me, not because of the missionary, but because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God will honor your faithfulness. Well, I don't know what in the world that was for. I was free, amen. It didn't cost you anything extra at all. But I'm just saying thank you again, church, for everything. Your fellowship has been wonderful. I love your pastor with all my heart. He knows that. He's a dear friend to me. And I know he loves you all like a pastor loves his people. Amen. And you're blessed to have him as a pastor. He knows what I mean when I say this, but I'm a little jealous. I don't have a pastor right now. You all know our pastor passed away and we're looking for one. I miss him. I better get going before I get messed up, Pastor. I appreciate y'all, church. Thank you again for all your kindnesses. I'm looking forward to what God has, too. I have no idea where we're going tonight, but I know God does. I think I'm supposed to sing something. Am I supposed to? Okay. If y'all can tolerate it, I'll take a little sip here. I just heard this song for the first time a year ago. And you all know how it is. Sometimes you hear a song and God gets a hold of your heart and just shakes you. And this was one of those songs. It's a simple message. It's a gospel message. But it reminds me of the pit from which I was digged. It reminds me of how God brought me up out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a solid rock and established my goings. It reminds me of Isaiah 53. And the fact that Jesus Christ bore our sorrows and our griefs. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Isn't that good news tonight? That's the message we're carrying around the world. That's what missions is. Sing this song for you. I'll sing it a cappella. You pray for me. Listen to the words, would you? He was acquainted with the splendor of heaven, surrounded by the angels who worshiped Him. But He longed to have someone to give His love to. So in His own image He created man. One day man failed Him in the garden. Fellowship was broken because of sin. But from the beginning, the Father knew what He would do. He would send His own Son to bring us back to Him. He became acquainted with grief, so I could be acquainted with grace. He suffered like no other did. The Lamb of God, He knew no sin. He was acquainted with grief, so I could be acquainted with grace. He came unto His own, but was rejected. The Son of God had nowhere to lay His head. Brought before the mob to be condemned or set free, yet they chose a criminal instead. He walked the lonely road to Golgotha. What shame and reproach my Savior bore. Oh, He could have walked away, but in love He took the cross. For I was the sinner He was dying for. He became acquainted with grief, so I could be acquainted with grace. He suffered like no other did. The Lamb of God, He knew no sin. He was acquainted with grief, so I could be acquainted with grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He suffered like no other did. The Lamb of God, He knew no sin. He was acquainted with grief, so I could be acquainted with grace. Aren't you glad for the grace of God tonight? For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Aren't you grateful for the grace of God? Where would we be without the grace of God tonight? We may allude to that in just a little bit, but think about that. He left the glory of heaven. Now, listen to me. I've been a preacher for a long time, and so is your pastor. I can't stand here and tell you theologically that I even understand what it meant for a holy God to take on flesh, to humble Himself, to become in the form of a servant and be made in the likeness of men, and to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I can't imagine that. I just know He did. I can't even articulate that to you, church. I wish I could. I wish I had the vocabulary to articulate that in such a way that you and I could grasp it. I don't have it. It's unimaginable. It's unsearchable. It's indescribable, the love of God. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter number 2 tonight. Chapter number 2. Thank you all for being here on a Saturday night. I remember a time when on a Saturday night, I'd rather be anywhere but in a church. Since God touched my heart with His grace on February the 12th, 1984, I can look you in the eye and say, on a Saturday night, I can't think of any place I'd rather be than in church. Amen. Listening to God's music, fellowshipping with God's people, listening to the Word of God being preached. This is my crowd right here. Amen? We're stuck with each other for all eternity. You might as well just smile, amen, and just say, I got to stay with this guy for a while. I might as well figure out how to enjoy it, amen. Luke chapter, my wife could stay married to me for 41 years. You guys could spend eternity with me, amen. I'm glad she's not here. She'd amen that. Luke chapter number 2. If you have that and you're able, and I understand if you're not able, but if you are, please stand so that we can honor the reading of God's Word. When Ezra preached, he had the people stand, and they stood all morning into the afternoon. I'll not have you stand quite that long, and you'll get to sit down on padded pews in just a minute. Luke chapter number 2, and we're going to begin in verse number 41. as we think of missions, God would bring something to our memory tonight. Beginning in verse 41 of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." The world's still astonished. "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.' And he said unto them, 'How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?' And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus is just 12 years old. But something captured my attention tonight that will be the text of our message in verse 49. When they ask Jesus, "Where have you been?" And he says, "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" I want to preach to you for just a few minutes tonight on the Father's business. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your book. Lord, if we had 10 years and we did nothing but for 52 weeks for all 10 years have missions conferences, we couldn't begin to scratch the surface of what you have for us. How you would illuminate us in not only the work that needs to be done, but the power of what you will do if we'll just be faithful. It's beyond our imagination. We can't imagine it, Lord, because our minds are limited. But Lord, you are all powerful. You have no limits to your power, your mercy, your grace, your wisdom. And so we look around the world and we wonder, how then can men be saved? And your answer is, with men is it impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now tonight, Lord, for the sweet people that are here, Grace Baptist Church, would you show us, Lord, what is possible? Lord, you don't need many. In fact, often in the scriptures, you use the base things to confound the wise. Oftentimes, we can just ask Gideon, Lord, amen. Oftentimes, you used a few to accomplish your amazing supernatural purpose. You're ready to do that tonight with Grace Baptist Church, if they're willing. Please, Lord, stir our hearts. Do a work in these sweet people's hearts tonight that only you can do. And may Jesus Christ alone, who is worthy, be glorified, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. I love everything about the scriptures. And I love the fact that here Jesus is only 12 years old. And that's not really the text or the highlight, what I want to highlight in the message tonight. But may I say to you, get your youth involved in missions. Let me just say this again in case it didn't come across. Get your children and your young people, get them involved in missions. You don't get them involved in missions when they're children. Could be by the time they get old enough, like many of us, they will have calloused over and become so allured by the things of this world that missions will just be far from their mind. And what could have been never will be, because we didn't open their eyes when we had the opportunity. Are you with me, church? Jesus is 12 years old. Now, we know Jesus is God. We know that. He's God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. Amen? There never has been a time when there wasn't Jesus Christ. There never will be a time when there's not Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is God. But Mary was there. Pretty sure she was involved when she gave birth. Amen, ladies? They know that this boy was born and laid in that manger, and Mary has laid these things in their heart, pondering and wondering, what is all this? Angels and shepherds gathering around and worshiping my son. What's going on? Well, she knew the angel Gabriel had told her, amen? You're going to give birth to Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. But still, Mary is human and she doesn't quite understand all that's going on. And here they find him 3 days later. Now, I don't want to be too hard on Mary and Joseph here, but why did it take a full day before they realized Jesus was missing? May I say to you just in passing, you and I don't ever want to get so far that we go a full day wondering where Christ is. Amen? That's all I'll say about that for now. Another message for another time. What I do want you to notice here is that they were faithful. Jesus was faithful. There were three feasts. You know that Hebrew boys were required to attend every year. There was that first feast, which is celebrated right about this time of year, coincides with our Easter. You know as the Passover, or the Pesach, as the Jews call it. Amen? Where they celebrate the Passover lamb. And Jesus Christ, of course, that was a picture of Jesus because he is the Lamb of God. Amen? And they would take that blood and they would put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And they were to celebrate that. And by the way, the Passover feast is the oldest and longest ongoing celebrated feast still celebrated today in the history of the world, the Passover. Then there was the Feast of Weeks, which was to come along over 7 weeks later when they celebrated the first gathering in of the fruits. And they were to come back to Jerusalem and celebrate. And then there was the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Sukkoth, as they call it, the Feast of Booths, Feast of Trumpets, a picture of the rapture of the church, and they were to come back then. Three times in the year, Jewish boys were to go to Jerusalem. It was law. And we see Jesus being faithful and his family being faithful. There's a lesson for us. Amen? Be where you're supposed to be, and God will do something with you. It's as simple as that. You need to be faithful before God will ever use you in anything. All of us would like to be used of God, but we want to skip that faithful part. God doesn't use you if you're not faithful. It's as simple as that. But not only were they faithful, but I want you to notice he's focused. When they said, using modern vernacular, where you been? We've been looking for you. Jesus said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus even questioned, how is it that ye sought me? Don't you know I'm doing what I've been sent to do? He was focused. And I want you to notice the imperative in that text. I must be about my Father's business. Oh, that you and I would get to the point where we say to ourselves, I must be about my Father's business. Isn't there some place you'd rather be tonight, Brother Ferris? Oh, I have a wife at home right now, working her head off taking care of two parents, and it's a hard job, and it's a difficult job. And sometimes it brings her to tears because these are her parents and she's watching their health deteriorate. And now I'm not there to help her because I'm here. So why are you here, Brother Ferris? Because I must be about my Father's business. You listening? When you get to the point where you must be about your Father's business, you won't need a missions conference to remind you to give to missions or to go do, go tell. Now, I want to get right to the message here. Paul said, necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me, Paul said, if I preach not the gospel. Isn't that what he said? Paul said, I must be about my Father's business. Now, we're going to make a lot of life's decisions. I don't care what age you are tonight, if you're 12, betwixt 12 and 20, or you're over 20, or some of you look like you might even be past 40. I'm just saying, not being mean. Maybe. But there's always life's decisions. Every day you make life decisions. Decisions that will impact the rest of your life. I'm reminded of something Benjamin Franklin said. Benjamin Franklin said, dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, because that is the stuff life is made of. There are 86,400 seconds in every day, and you can never get them back once they're spent. Amen? Now listen to me. We're going somewhere with this in just a minute. The Lord's directing my heart here. I preached a series of messages called Things You Can Never Get Back. Three things in particular you can never get back. Acts you've committed. If you don't believe that, go to the jails with me. And talk to those men and ladies behind the bars. Many of them with tears in their eyes that would say to you, I wish I just had that 5 minutes back. Amen? You can never get back. Acts that you've committed. Words that you've spoken. How many of you have spoken a word? Maybe to a friend or a loved one and you said to yourself later, I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut. My hands up. How about yours? And lastly, time that you've spent. We say a lot about time and we make tongue-in-cheek statements, and I'm not being critical of those tonight, but we'll say things like, I'm going to save some time. But in reality, can you save 3 days from next week, put it in the bank, so that the following week you have 10 days instead of 7? No. I'm going to buy some time. I'm going to buy some time. Now, I realize we say that tongue-in-cheek, but is there anybody in this room tonight that has any amount of money in your pocket that can buy you one more day on this earth? No. You can't buy time. You can't borrow time. There's only one thing you can do with time, and that's spend it. And that's your choice. I'm asking you to make a choice with that tonight. No, I'm not asking and suggesting everybody in this room has to surrender to missions tonight. Don't have a heart attack on me just yet. But I am saying to you, every day with your life, you make a decision about being about the Father's business or not. And I don't know about you, but I want to get to the point where I must be about my Father's business. Now, what about my Father's business? Just a couple things I want to give you tonight. First one's just real quick. But if we're going to talk about a business, some things we need to talk about. First thing we need to know is who's the proprietor? Who's the proprietor of this business? Well, the answer is given away. It's God's business. It's the Father's business. Can I say something to you tonight that I really love, Brother Rich, about being a missionary? I'm about the King's business. Who do you work for? I love it tonight. What we're preaching this week isn't about something neat that you might want to consider. This is the King's business we've been talking about all week long. Amen? The theme is remember. And I recall what Peter said in his second epistle when Peter himself, and I believe it was in chapter 3, he said, this second epistle I now write unto you that I might stir up your pure hearts by way of remembrance. And that's what Missions Conference is. We're trying to get you to remember again. It's time, Grace Baptist Church, that we get about the Father's business. This isn't some business that's a Microsoft or something that's going to build some kind of great profit. And by the way, those businesses come and go. There'll come a day, if God tarries his coming, when nobody will have heard the word Microsoft. That's just the nature of business. None of these businesses are going to last forever. But I can tell you one that will. The King's business. My Father's business, there is no end to that business. His kingdom and his domain is forever and ever and ever. And the proprietor of that business is God Almighty. So what we're preaching about this week is not some really neat philanthropic idea. It's not some really fancy entrepreneurial idea. This is the Father's business. The author of that book. A verse that we hear quoted in almost every missions conference. And it's appropriate out of Matthew chapter 9. Where Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Remember that verse? Every missions conference you hear it. And it's appropriate. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest. And we hear that all the time. And it's appropriate and it's good. But you know the two words that I think get left out of that verse all the time in missions conferences? The last two. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into whose harvest? His harvest. The harvest we're talking about tonight, may I say respectfully, is not a Grace Baptist Church harvest. It's not an All Points Baptist Mission harvest. It's not a Mike Ferris harvest. It's not even a Baptist harvest. It's God's harvest. Throughout the church, throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you find that God loves husbandry, which is farming. Example after example after example, from Genesis to Revelation, of God talking about vineyards. Remember he talked about how the man planted a vineyard and he digged it and had a wine press and it was a picture of God the Father, and he went away and he let it out to husbandmen. And when he sent his prophets, pastors, missionaries, to receive the fruits, what did the people do? Stoned some, killed some of them, didn't they? Amen? Made fun of God's servants. And God said, I know what I'll do. I'll send my only son. They'll reverence him. Did they? They hung him out on an old rugged cross. What are you saying, Brother Ferris? I'm saying everything in the scripture where God's talking about the vineyard and God's talking about the field, he's talking about his harvest. It's his. He's the proprietor of it. And I'll go back to something I said that started the conference Thursday night. Even in a good church like this one, where you all have been faithful to missions all these years, even in a church where I know the Bible is preached and taught, if we're not careful, church, we'll get our focus on the wrong thing. The topic this week is missions, but missions is not our objective. Our focus and objective should be Jesus Christ. Is he pleased with what we're doing? It's his business, amen? He's the proprietor. He's the one I want to please. I want him to be happy with what we're doing. Amen? And may I say to you, if we're spreading the gospel, he's pretty happy with that. Because that's what he told us to do. Isn't that what he said? Go ye therefore. Now, he's the proprietor. He's the authority. He's the Lord. He's the master of the business. Number two, though, I want to get into this. There's the purpose. There's the purpose. A lot of businesses, they'll have mission statements. You know, depending on the business, they'll have some kind of tagline that is the mission statement that describes to you what that business does, delivers this service or provides this food or whatever it may be. And the mission statement and the purpose for God's business, for the Father's business, is simple. I'm going to give you two things. I had about 77 things here, but we only got so much time, so I'm going to give you two tonight. How about that? We'll narrow it down. Number one, the first purpose tonight for God's business, the Father's business, is the gospel designed by God. The gospel designed by God. Did you know that he developed this business? Brother Ramirez started his presentation out tonight by talking about a vision Brother Hayes had. Worked, I think, in Iowa, you said, for municipal water treatment system for 15 years, and got a vision, you said. What's the vision? What's the purpose of the business? The first, and oftentimes forgotten, is the gospel designed by God. Did you know that the business plan for the Father's business was established before he spoke the first star into existence? Did you know that? Did you know the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, God knew man would be lost, God knew man would rebel from him, God knew man would need a Savior, and God knew that he was going to send his only begotten Son before the foundation of the world? Now, we're going to be using our Bibles tonight, so please keep them handy. Go with me, if you would, please, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, I'm going to go a little quickly. Don't normally do that on these verses, but I want to cover this tonight. If you can't get them all, write them down. I'd be happy to give them to you later. But 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 6. Paul says here, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. There it is again. Remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. There's an awful lot of people that are afraid of missions, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of what? Of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now look at verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, there's the business plan, and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When did he develop this plan? Before the world began. 1 Peter says it this way, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He said in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I believe it's down around verse 19, he said, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by your fathers, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." God had his business plan in place before you were even born. I like that. God had me in his plan, in his mind, about the Father's business before I was even birthed into this world. That's amazing to me. And what that means, child of God, is God has a plan for you. Now, can I just stop right here? This may sound like a rabbit, but it's not. It's right on point. Hollywood, that's the proper pronunciation, Hollywood has lied to you and your family. Hollywood has gotten you to think, and it's even affected our modern church services. Church services have turned into some kind of, where it has to be some kind of performance, where the musicians have to entertain, and the preacher's just the prompter, and the people that have to be pleased are sitting in the pews. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. You and I are the ones that should be worshiping, and the only one that should be pleased with what's going on in this house tonight is the one who is the proprietor of this business, God Almighty in His Son, Jesus Christ. Are you with me tonight? He's the critic. He's the one that should determine tonight, was this a good service or not? Not us going home and saying, "Boy, I got entertained tonight. That guy's really funny." Or, "Boy, wasn't that band good?" And you know we got them doing all kind of hoochie-coochie across the stages now. We know how to get a crowd. Are you with me, church? This is God's business. And the purpose is about declaring the gospel designed by God before the foundation of the world. Now, I'm going to say more about this in a few minutes, but he gave the method to be distributed by the church. Hold on to that. I'll come back to that. I want you to notice in 1 Timothy or in 2 Timothy 1 there, he told Timothy not to be afraid, not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, you know the verse well. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Amen? It was the gospel that saved you. And it's that same gospel that's going to save your neighbor. That one that we talked about that last night that may be crying out, that might be steeped in addiction or might be depressed or might be dealing with some other kind of oppression, maybe just lost their job, maybe going through some great difficulty, maybe they're just lost and need a Savior, amen? But whatever the case may be, God has designed the same gospel that you got that saved your soul to be powerful enough to save your neighbor and to save all the people that these missionaries go and preach to, amen? It's the power of the gospel. You don't have to convince me about gospel tracts. I carry them everywhere. I hope you carry these everywhere you go. I mean, they're with me. They're in my Bible. They're in my coat pocket. My wife finds them laying all over the place. In the car, everywhere. The power is not on that piece of paper. The power is the Word of God and what it will do to their heart if they'll read it and believe it. Amen? That's where the power is. I wish you all could meet Tom Patterson. If you ever get the chance, Pastor, to have Tom Patterson come and preach to your church, your folks would be blessed. Tom Patterson, a dear friend of mine from Fellowship Track League. Oh, I'd love to tell you his story. It'd bring tears to your eyes. What a great man of God this is. And when I'm with him at Bible colleges, he'll have his display table set up with Fellowship Track League, and I'll have mine next to him there. And Brother Patterson and I have gone out and had many a meal together and many a fellowship. And his Down syndrome 30-year-old son, and I'd love to tell you about that. And old Samuel, every time he sees me, gives me a big old hug. And he'll have his display table set up, and right there on this display table is this huge, humongous photo album full of letters. And literally he has hundreds of thousands of letters from people all over the world that got saved from a gospel tract. That's not you, that's not me, that's not the piece of paper, and it's not the printer. It's not Fellowship Tract League. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He designed it that way before the world began. He's the proprietor, and that's his purpose. His purpose, first of all, is the gospel designed by God. His second purpose is to go declare the glory of God. Now I'm going to repeat something on purpose that I said Thursday night. This entire book from Genesis to Revelation is a book about one man, Jesus Christ. I can say this without any fear of being wrong, but everything that God has ever done, from the first day of creation until tonight, March 25th, 2023, everything God ever has done, listen to me, I'm about to prove this to you from the Scriptures, get your Bible ready. Everything God ever has done and ever will do is for one purpose, to declare His glory. Everything. You said, Brother Ferris, you and your wife lost a child. Does that include that? Most definitely. Remember John chapter 9? The disciples, I declare, they had to be Baptists. Because they go to Jesus, and what did they say about the blind man? They went to Jesus and said, Jesus, who sinned this man? Somebody messed up. He's blind. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Had to be Baptist. What did Jesus say? Neither this man nor his parents have sinned. This blindness is for the glory of God. Read the rest of John chapter 9 at the end of the chapter 9 and tell me, did God get the glory? Oh, yes, He did. When Lazarus died, death's no laughing matter, even for those of us that know it's a child of God going to heaven. I'm sure Mary and Martha weren't laughing, and the proof is in the text when they met Jesus on the road as He came into Bethany, and they said, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. When Jesus was first told about Lazarus being sick, He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Bethany was a home away from home for Him. I mean, He stopped there often in fellowship with them, and they had meals and fellowship together. But when they first came and told Jesus, Lazarus is sick unto death, what did Jesus tell them? This sickness isn't unto death. It's for the glory of God. Read the end of John chapter 11. Tell me the truth. Did God get the glory? When half the town got saved after they saw what Jesus did to Lazarus. And I don't know about you, but it's been a long time since I've seen somebody raised from the dead. That'd have an impact on me, amen? They were looking the resurrection in the eye, right in the face. And the purpose of God's business is not only to deliver His gospel, but to declare His glory. Now, we're going to look at some verses real quick. So go with me quickly. And again, if you can't get all these, write them down. But we're going to let our fingers do the walking through the holy pages. Amen? Now, I'm going to do this so the turning is as much right-handed as possible to save you some time. But let's go back to Exodus chapter 9. We were just in Exodus last night. Amen? Exodus chapter number 9. Children of Israel in bondage. How in the world is that for God's glory? Well, you know the rest of the story. Did He get the glory? I believe He did. But look with me at chapter 9 at something you might not have thought about. Exodus chapter 9, look at verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Now skip down to verse 16. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, he's talking about Pharaoh, have I raised thee up for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared where? Throughout all the earth. You said, Brother Ferris, if America gets out of sorts, would God use a heathen king to bring us back to Him? You tell me. Oh, yes, He will. God's going to get His glory, America. The question is, what's it going to do to get our attention? You with me? 9/11, no, we still haven't answered the phone from 9/11. Still haven't answered it. God's been trying to get our attention. And I wonder what it's going to take before the altar gets filled again and we get out of our comfort of our padded pews and get serious with God's business. Now, go with me to Numbers 14. I got to do this quicker. Quit holding me up. Numbers chapter 14. I want to get this done. Numbers chapter 14. Watch me now. Children of Israel were supposed to go up in the promised land. They said, no, we ain't doing it. It's too hard. Amen? Too much. Missions budget's too high. I can't afford it, Pastor. This is too hard. We got to do something else. Look at what God said. Verse 21, Numbers 14. This is God speaking, by the way. But as truly as I live, He said, all the earth, how much of the earth? all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Pretty plain, isn't it? Joshua chapter 4. Quickly now. Joshua 4. Watch this. Listen, I can give you hundreds of examples. I'm just cherry picking tonight. Joshua, aren't you glad I'm not going to give you all 100 of them? Amen. Nobody said amen. You just gave me a free ride. Joshua chapter 4. I'm just kidding. Joshua chapter 4. Verse number 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. So they're just coming up out of that thing. And look at what, skip down to verse 24 for time's sake. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Isn't it pretty clear to you already that God's purpose for His business is to get His glory? Now, go with me again. You're not convinced yet. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Oh, I'm skipping so much tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17. How about old David when he went to fight the big boy? Amen? Old David out there fighting Goliath. Can't you see him? Look with me at verse 46. 1 Samuel 17, verse 46. David's talking to that big giant. And he said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee." I love this kid. "And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth." Why, David? "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Amen. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter number 8. 1 Kings chapter number 8. Just letting our fingers do the walking through the holy pages here. Amen. A little cherry picking. Delivering God's glory. 1 Kings chapter number 8. Solomon's dedicating the temple. Look at it, verse number 54. 1 Kings 8, verse 54. Look at it with me now. "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven." There's some worship for you. Amen. Go with me down to verse number 60. Why did they do all that? "That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day." Brother Rich, you're going to Zimbabwe. You know why? Because you're going to tell them that the Lord, He is God, and there is none else. There's no other way under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. Only Jesus Christ. You say, boy, that's pretty close-minded. God's pretty close-minded when it comes to His Son. The Bible says the Father loveth the Son and hath put all things into His hands. And may I say to you, to those who would say God would never cast anybody to hell, if you know anything about the character of our God, you know He doesn't. You have to step over the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ to choose hell. Go to a place that wasn't designed for men. If you go there, you go there as an intruder. Hell was designed for the devil and his angels. Check the scriptures. Amen? Wasn't designed for man. You have to deny the Holy God and the purpose of God's business to go there. Well, let's go on. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk. After I first got saved, I used to pronounce it Habakkuk. I thought that was a fun name. Habakkuk. Chapter number 2. Look at verse 14. Look at what the prophet said. "For the earth might be, could be, no, shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Now go with me to Zechariah chapter 14. We're just about done. A couple more. Zechariah chapter 14. Bear with me. Isn't the Word of God fun tonight? Zechariah chapter 14. This is Jesus Christ's second coming. Zechariah is prophesying about here. Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 4. You mean God's still going to be getting His glory in His second coming? You tell me. Look at verse 4. "And His feet," that's Jesus Christ's feet, amen, "shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove to the north, and half of it toward the south." Skip down to verse 9. "And the Lord shall be king over" how much of the earth? "All the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one." What's the purpose of God's business? Declare His gospel and to deliver His glory to the world. That all the earth may know that there is one God and one way to heaven. Right now the earth is full of religions. I can take you to places in Mexico, Brother Ramirez probably knows about it, where people have to crawl across brick cobbled streets in short sleeved shirts. and crawl across those streets and crawl up the steps of the temple and crawl across broken glass and objects that they put in their way and crawl all the way and hopefully make it to the altar to earn their way to heaven. I can show you a church in the Philippines. I know because I've seen the pictures from my dear friend who's there of this church that teaches people that the only way you're ever going to get to heaven is you have to be inside that church when God comes back, their God. And you can see pictures of people literally on the outside of the building clinging to the church. Can I say to you? That's all idle. That's all idle. And do you know what idols are like? God says those that make idols are like unto them. Want to worship a statue? What you're saying in biblical terms is you're dumber than a box of rocks. You're as dumb as that. That's what the Bible says. They're like them that make them and worship them. Amen? There's only one God. And we must be about His business. You know what you need to be doing in Bridgeport, West Virginia? You know why there's certain places I won't go and certain things I won't do and certain language that I won't use, particularly when my grandkids and my kids are watching me and when I'm out about the Father's business? You know why? Because it's the Father's business, not mine. And He holds us to a higher standard. We've been waiting for a long time for the heathen to bust down the doors of that of Grace Baptist Church so we can fill the pews and have what we call revival. That's not going to happen until they see the glory of the Lord. And let me tell you something. The glory of the Lord gets in this place, you'll have to put out chairs. You'll have to knock out windows and doors to hold the people. Because it's God's business and that's His purpose. When His purpose is fulfilled, He'll give you the fruit of your labor. Amen? Go with me one more time. A couple of sets of scriptures. We're going to have to get to the last point here. You got to quit holding me up like this. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. To deliver His gospel and declare His glory. That's the purpose of the Father's business. By the way, that's what Jesus was doing. Amen? Jesus didn't say, I've come to do my own will, but I've come to do the will of Him that sent me. Jesus was about the Father's business. Revelation chapter number 5, look at it. We're still talking about declaring His glory. Oh, I love this. We're looking into the future now, and if you're saved by God's grace, you're going to be a part of this. Try to put on a seatbelt, and please restrain from running around the building for a few minutes, if you would. Revelation chapter number 5, verse number 8, look at it. And when He had taken the book, this is Jesus Christ, the book that nobody else could open, right? The four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of where? Every kindred. That includes Zimbabwe, brother. That includes Japan. That includes every place where your water systems are going to go. Out of every, look at it, every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Listen, Jason and Charity Wooner and Kathmandu, Nepal tonight. You know what they're doing? They're trying to make sure folks get in on this song from Nepal. There's going to be Nepalese there. There's going to be Russians there. There's going to be Japanese there. There's going to be some Zimbabweans there, amen? There's going to be some Liberians there. There's going to be some Brazilians there. There's going to be some Canadians there. There's going to be some French and Germans there. There's going to be some British there. There might even be a few Americans there, amen? Every kindred and nation and tongue and people. Why? Declaring His glory. That's His business. Amen. That's right. And do you know that's why He created you?
Yes.
Whose image are you made in? Please don't tell me your grandma was flying from a tree, because I'm not buying that. Please tell me your grandma wasn't a one-cell amoeba. I got a story about that. Amen? Please tell me. No, you and I were created in the image of God. And I said to you earlier, Hollywood has lied to you. You know what they told you, church? They told you, young people? They told you that the world is looking for talent. We've even got shows now. I don't even know what it's called. America's Most Talented People, or whatever them shows are they have. It's all about talent. Talent, talent, talent. It's all about talent. We don't care about the team anymore. They worship the greatest players. Am I right? Amen? I'm so sick of hearing about Tom Brady, I can't stand it. I don't even remember the team he played for. It's all about him. See, they convinced you it's about talent. Can I say you won't find that anywhere in the Scripture? You know what God's interested in? Something everybody in this room can do. Slow or fast. Short or tall. Skinny or big. Smart or not quite as smart. Makes no difference. Everybody in this room can do something that God has asked you to do, and that is to be faithful. Jesus Christ didn't say, when I come back, will I find talent on the earth? He said, when I come back, will I find, somebody give it to me, faith on the earth. I can, you know what we've done, Pastor Vaughn? We have talked ourselves out of doing anything for God. I'm in churches all over America. Listen, I don't have a mean bone in my body. But I've talked to people all over America, and I hear this all the time from folks. Well, brother, I don't have the gift of being able to, I can't teach, and I can't, God just didn't make me. I'm not an outgoing person, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I, because of my health, I can't even do much around the church. And we've talked ourselves out of doing anything for God. I can take you to Judges chapter 4 and show you a woman that won one of the greatest battles in Israel's history, and she didn't have anything but a hammer, a nail, and a bottle of milk. Her name was Jael. She's the only woman in the Bible where the reference is made to her, blessed art thou among women. And it wasn't Mary. It was Jael. Just a hammer and a nail and a bottle of milk, Brother Electric, that's all she had. And won one of the great victories Israel ever had. And just ask old Sisera, amen? He still got a headache, I'm sure. That had to hurt, bless God. Woke up, bless his heart, nailed to the tent floor. I mean, I love that lady. She could have been a United States Marine, all right. Go with me back to Revelation chapter 5, and let's finish this in verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a whole lot of people. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Go ahead and read verse 13. And how many creatures? Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That covers a lot of folks. And such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped. You always fall down when you worship. Him that liveth forever and ever. Listen to me, church. The purpose of God's business, the Father's business tonight, is to deliver the gospel and declare his glory. That's your job in Bridgeport, West Virginia. And it's your job to send these missionaries. May I challenge you, missionaries, wherever you go, give them good drinking water, brother. I'm all for it. I'm behind you. But the purpose of the Father's business is much greater than that. It's to declare his glory and deliver his gospel. Same thing in Zimbabwe. Same thing in Japan. Same thing right here in Bridgeport, West Virginia. What are you doing to declare his glory? What are you doing to deliver his gospel? That's the Father's business. And we must be about it. The time's short. Can you not see that? Time's short. All right, let's finish this up because I'm about out of time. We said the proprietor and the purpose. Number three, there's the planning. And all that means is the method. Did you know that the transmitter of truth is the church? I'll just say this. There's only one entity through which the Holy Spirit works in 2023. The local church. Boy, got awful quiet right there. Let me just say that again, just in case you were asleep on that one. The only entity through which the Holy Spirit works in 2023 is the local church. I don't know about you, but I want to be where the Holy Spirit's working. That's where the Father's business takes place. Amen? Two things that we need to be concerned with in this business plan. Go or give. The servant or the supplier. Amen. That's it. He said go. That's pretty simple. We don't have to have a whole message on that. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said go. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Go. And if you're not going to go, then you need to give. Now, I do want to hit on this before I finish up, if you'll permit me, Brother Vaughn. And that's the supply. We get to thinking somehow that missions is just, well, they're just going to ask us for more money. Well, yeah, it does take money to get into the field. Amen? Can I say to you that missionaries are just funnels? Follow me around. Get to know missionaries. They're just funnels. I promise you, you give money to a missionary and it's going to go right back out into the Father's business. Amen. That's what missionaries do. Amen? That's what missionaries do. Now, here's something else that we miss out on. I believe I quoted this verse Thursday night when I said to you, because you've supported our ministry for many years. And I said to you, I quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to you, where Paul wrote his prayer letter to the church at Corinth, and he said that we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. You see, missions is a partnership. Missions is not just about putting money in the plate so we can send more missionaries so they'll do the Father's business. Oh no, it's a partnership. And I'll confess to you, please don't get mad at me. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited tonight. I'm trying to preach the truth of the Word of God to you. But may I say to you, I do not understand churches putting the money that they put into the plate to support missionaries like me, and then not one time do I ever get a phone call from that church saying, how are you doing, missionary? How's your family? How's your wife? By the way, how are the children? Better ask that question. This man's got 4 kids going to the mission field. And I can tell you, because I already know his heart, he's wondering how he's going to do right by them and his wife. That's right. While he performs the Father's business. Amen. He's wise to think of that. And he needs a church, not just putting money in the plate so he can be on the field, but a church that will pray for him and a church that will occasionally contact him and say, brother, how you doing? What can we be praying about? What do you need? We have a web meeting, a Zoom web meeting with all of our missionaries at All Points Baptist Mission Day every month. We have 51 missionaries around the world right now. They're not all 51 able to be on there every time. Some of them are busier, other parts of the world, but we always usually have between 30, sometimes 35 missionaries on the call. And we'll have a quick devotion, we'll share prayer requests, and can I tell you, without any hesitation of doubt, that by far the number one request when we talk to these missionaries about what their greatest burden is has nothing to do with money. When we ask them what they need, by far, their number one request is fellowship with people back in the States. I'll just be honest with you. As I look at the churches around America that support our ministry and make it possible for us to do what we do with our military, I can count to you on one hand the churches that call me on any kind of regular basis and say, Brother Ferris, what can we be praying about? What do you need? I don't understand that. Would you buy a piece of property and then never go to check on it? Would you invest in a stock and then never read the stock page to see how it's doing? Of course not. Paul said to the Philippian church, I think I hit a nerve here a little bit, Pastor. Paul said to the Philippian church, ye did well that ye did communicate with me concerning my affliction. He wasn't talking about money. Read Philippians chapter number 4. How did they know about his affliction? They didn't have phones. They didn't have internet. There was no Facebook. How'd they know he had an affliction? Somebody must have been communicating. What a wonderful thing it is. A lady who's not even an officer in a church, she's just a faithful member of a church in Ohio, sends my wife a card every month. Every month. A couple times she stuck a little gift card in there. It's not about the gift card. You ought to see the words that lady writes on that card. My wife's in tears because somebody's thinking about her. That's missions. There's the going, but there's the giving. And giving's not just your money, church. This man needs your prayers. This man needs somebody propping him up. He's not married yet. He's got to find a wife. Somebody pray for him. Please. Be honest, girls. You want to marry this guy? He's going to kill me. 4 kids on the mission field. Family going to the mission field. Amen. I won't even begin to tell you tonight what my wife's going through right now. But I'll tell you this. When she hurts, I hurt. So what do you do, Brother Ferris? Wake up in the morning and realize that I must be about my Father's business. There's the proprietor, God. There's the purpose, the delivery of the gospel, and the declaring of His glory. And then there's the planning. You either supply or you serve. You go or you give. You know why you need to know so much about the giving? As I said, 90% of what I hear from missionaries on the field is not financial need. It has nothing to do with financial need. Most missionaries could come off the field, come off for lack of fellowship. But you know what they do need? They need you to pay attention to their needs. I was a United States Marine. Where's my military brethren that served in our military tonight, men or women, around the room? A couple of you. Okay, praise God for you. Amen. What if I'm on the front lines and I'm facing the enemy and they're shooting at me and my life is in danger? And I call back to supply, because every army has to have a supply, right? Can't win the battle without it. I call back to supply, need more ammunition! About 15 minutes later, I see his crate show up and a huge pallet full of beautiful MRE meals right there. Wonderful. I appreciate the meals. I'm not ungrateful. But what I need is ammunition. So I call for ammunition! Half hour later, they show up with hand warmers and Q-tips. I'm not ungrateful, church. I appreciate the hand warmers and Q-tips, but if I don't get some ammo, I'm about to die. You get the message, amen? You can't supply the need if you don't know the need. Missions is a partnership. It's a partnership. And there should be a communication when God's business is involved between the supplier and the one doing the business. I can't tell you how many churches I've gone into across America. I love looking at their mission board because I know a lot of missionaries. I love to read their prayer letters. And how many times I've gone into churches that support my ministry and I see a prayer letter up there from 3.5 years ago. And I have to ask the question, has anybody prayed for our ministry in 3.5 years? I have to ask the question. I see missionaries that they're supporting that I know for a fact have been off the field and retired for years. Not in the ministry at all. But they don't know because they're not communicating. You listen to me, church? This is your investment. This is the Father's business. Shouldn't we take care of His money? Can I get a witness tonight? Amen. Jesus said, wist ye not that I must be about the Father's business. Heavenly Father, Lord, I confess I don't understand Your ways. But it is clear to me You're dealing with hearts tonight. Lord, at this time of invitation, as the pianist comes even now and she plays, I pray, Lord, that You would cause us to be people of commitment. Cause us to realize this is the Father's business. This is not some temporary thing that's going to be here for a while and then pass away. This is the Father's business. You've told us to do it. You're going to get Your glory. Help us, Lord, to get in on it. I don't want to miss out. And we don't want this sweet church to miss out. Thousands around the world have already come to know Jesus Christ because of this church's involvement. Would You help them to take the next step? Somebody here needs to go. Somebody else needs to learn to give. Have Your way, and may Jesus Christ alone, who is worthy, be glorified in this invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Church, with your head bowed and eyes closed, as you stand to your feet, nobody looking around. Some have already come. How about you? Would there be somebody tonight that say, I want to be about the Father's business? Would there be anybody in the congregation tonight? I'll ask. As many have come to the altar already, I'll ask. Would there be anybody in the congregation tonight who would just be willing to say, Brother Ferris, something in the message, something from the Word of God touched my heart tonight, and I want to be more involved in missions. I'm not saying I'm going to go. I just want to be more involved in the Father's business than I ever have. By uplifted hand, could I see it, please? Thank you. Men and women, all, thank you for that. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your kindness. I assume you're serious about that. You know what will happen in the United States of America? God's not waiting for the White House to get right. He's waiting for the church house to get right. Our hope tonight is not on Capitol Hill. It's on Calvary's Hill. And when God's glory starts getting declared, check me out in the scriptures. When God's glory starts getting declared and His gospel starts getting delivered, things happen to nations and peoples, and revival takes place. Could be it can start in a church just like this one. How about you? As the pianist plays, you come. Pastor Vaughn.
Thank you for keeping your hearts tender to the Lord. Thank you for just allowing the Lord to deal with you as He's dealing with me, and just seeing the response every night this week.